We're reading this morning from Amos chapter 2. So please turn in your Bibles to Amos chapter 2. We'll commence to read in verse 1 and finish at verse 5. Same reading as last week. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. But I will set fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kerioth, and Moab shall die with a tumult and shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments, and their lies cause them to err after the which their fathers have walked. But I will send fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Amen. And God will bless the reading from his word, which is inspired. God's servant Amos the farmer began preaching against Judah. He had been very popular up to this point because he had been preaching against and condemning the enemies of God's people. But now this has all changed. And Amos has preached in this way because he is faithful to God. And he is preaching not only that God takes note of pagan nations and their inhumanity towards both other ordinary humans and also God's people, but now he's preaching that God also takes note, in fact, even more so, God takes note of his own people. And God is going to punish his own people, Judah. And he tells us three reasons why he is going to do that. Last week we looked at the first reason. Because, verse 4, they have despised the law of the Lord. In other words, they have a disdainful attitude towards God's law. We saw that the church in the United Kingdom is in exactly the same position. There is no difference. A bad attitude towards God's law. And now this morning we're going to look at two more reasons. Verse 4. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments, and their lies cause them to err after the which their fathers have walked. So the first reason this morning, and the second reason in the passage, but the first point this morning, God is going to punish his people Judah because, number one, they have not kept his commandments. Not only did they have a bad attitude towards God's law, but they were actually being disobedient to the law that they had a bad attitude towards. Now, what do these terms mean? They kept not. That word kept, the Hebrew word means attend to, take heed or give heed to observe. They have not kept. They have not paid attention to. They have not given heed to his commandments. That Hebrew word that is translated commandments means appointed bounds or boundaries that God sets, tasks that God prescribes, statutes or ordinances. They, God's people Judah, paid no heed to God's boundaries that he had set for them, the do's and don'ts, the ordinances of his law. So the verse really just means what it says. They were disobedient and would not do what God said. Therefore, they were going to be punished. Now, you don't need to be a genius to work that out, sure you don't. Isn't that exactly what the verse says? Do you believe it? This is God. L-O-R-D, capital. Jehovah says this. The one that does not change. Let me give you some examples of how God's old covenant people disobeyed him. Jeremiah 17. I'll read to you. Verse 21 to 23. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. He's explaining to them the fourth commandment that he'd given them a thousand years earlier. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do you any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. Verse 23, but they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their necks stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. See, there it is. That's the example of how they paid no attention to the boundaries that God had set. They paid no heed. They made their necks stiff. You know, I'm going to do it my way. No, no one's going to tell me what to do. They made their necks stiff. They paid no heed. Stubbornness. They wouldn't pay attention to what God had said. This is history. Jeremiah 18, verses 11 and 12. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope. The Hebrew means, there's no way I'm doing it. Typical Northern Irish, there's no way. There's no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his own evil heart. No, we won't obey you, God. We are going to follow our own way. We are not going to pay any attention to God's commandments. Now, that's what Judah said. They're still the same in the New Testament. Acts chapter 7, verse 53. Stephen the martyr, his last sermon. He said to these old covenant people, you who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. They wouldn't keep God's law. And that's why God says, I'm going to punish you, Judah. Disobedience, the sin of disobedience, the sin of practical disobedience, which of course always flows from a wrong attitude towards God's law. Doesn't it? For it begins with a wrong attitude towards God's law, and then that works out itself in practice, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to disobey God's law. And that brings God's judgment upon God's people. Now let me get to application. I've just been outlining to you what the verse and other passages say. We saw last week that God's people in the United Kingdom generally have an abhorrence and a disdainful attitude towards God's law. But this always leads to this sin of disobedience. Not keeping the commandments. Disobedience to God's law. See, it does not stay as an attitude. And again, how relevant this is for the United Kingdom church scene. The antinomian attitude that leads to disobedience of God's law, paying no attention or giving no heed to God's law, and it's happening right before our eyes. So many areas. I could give you a whole list. Let me give you a few. I've already read one about the Sabbath. The Sabbath. The day of rest and worship. We have top sports stars who say that they're evangelical Christians playing their sport on the Lord's Day. I'm justifying it by saying, I'm going to play my sport on the Lord's Day, quote, to the glory of God. Do you see what he's saying? I'm going to sin to God's glory. I'm going to transgress his law to his glory. The Bible says, God forbid. God forbid that. Oh, he's not a Sabbatarian. You need to stop using that word. Stop using that word. A Sabbatarian means this, an obedient Christian. And if you're not a Sabbatarian, you're a disobedient Christian. You are sinning. Sinning. Show me from the Bible, show me from the New Testament, please, where the fourth commandment is rescinded and doesn't apply. Show me. Show me. And don't go to your two wee verses that you take out of context in the epistles, completely out of context. Show me where the fourth commandment is rescinded for the Christian. Where? Where? The Sabbath is not rescinded. I did two sermons in my first year in the fourth commandment. You can get the tapes. The only thing that is rescinded by Christ in the New Testament is the Jews' tradition that they had added to the Sabbath law, pulling ears of corn on the Sabbath day and eat as food, or pulling your mule out of a ditch or something like that. That's Jewish tradition that Jesus Christ rescinded. That's not the fourth commandment. Read the passages. Understand what God is saying in his word. You don't sin to God's glory. You sin to his shame. God wrote the Torah, the Ten Commandments, with his own hand in stone under the Old Covenant. God writes the Torah, same word, in the believer's heart in the New Testament with his finger. The word is he carves it on the believer's heart. Do you really, really honestly think, anyone, that you can drop two or three of those commandments that God carves? What about the false witness telling lies? Just drop that. Just at our will. Can we just drop the other God's one, materialism? And then pretend that it's all to God's glory after all. The Bible says sin is transgression of the law, the Torah. It's sin. But evangelical Christians in Northern Ireland generally pay no heed to God's law. They're in exactly the same position as Judah in Amos chapter 2 and verse 4. What about the command, love not the world nor the things that are of the world? Be not conformed to this world. They're New Testament commands of God, aren't they? What are the two key characteristics of the world in our society today? Everyone used to tag it smoking and drinking. That's just superficial, isn't it? The two things that characterise the world in Northern Ireland are busyness and materialism. That's the mind of the world, busyness. See this frantic activity, this hectic life. You try and arrange to meet someone for coffee. So busy. Isn't that right? Isn't the world so, so busy? Is it any different trying to arrange to meet a Christian? So, so busy. We have to get Madari out. I'll give you an away appointment in about 3 months from now. Busyness is the key characteristic of the world in our society. No time for people, no time even for our children. We'll just throw them in there and in here and we'll go on and live our own wee lives. So busy. Anyone that looks can see. You know, maybe you heard the report, I only heard it recently, that they had brought over tribesmen, some tribesmen from Africa, and put them in the centre of London to let them see. And the tribesmen were totally amazed. They saw all the people walking past, all the hustle and the bustle, nobody speaking to each other, nobody smiling. All the busyness, the busyness. You know what they said? Now, these weren't saved people. These were pagan tribesmen. You know what they said? These people, speaking about the people of Britain, these people, in their quest for money, have lost their soul. And they couldn't wait to get home. They weren't envious of us at all. They wanted out. Because even to the pagan, the uneducated pagan, this busyness is such a characteristic of our society. It's the worldliness. It's the mind of this world. And if you're too busy to have time for people, if you're too busy for your brothers and sisters, if you can't find a night to fit them in, then you're worldly. You've got the mind of this world right in there. Right in there. You've conformed to the mindset of this world. Whereas the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. That you may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's all conditional. The mind needs to be renewed. If you've got the world's mind, you're worldly. And the key thing in our world's mind today is the hectic busyness. Another New Testament commandment. I don't raise it because it's controversial, though I do not shrink from any controversy. But I raise it because it's common. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. 1 Corinthians 14:34. Now that's in the context of public speaking. Prophecy. Now I just want to ask you something. Are God's people obeying that? Are they obeying these appointed bounds that is set down by God, not in the Old Testament, but right plainly in the New Testament? No. There is only disdain for God's word when it speaks on all those controversial things. There is blatant, obvious disobedience in the church in Northern Ireland, the evangelical church in Northern Ireland. The Church of the United Kingdom has not kept the commandments of God. And that's the second reason why God punished Judah. Disobedience to what he says. How far is the New Covenant Church away from what the Puritans held to as biblical theology, which is where congregational churches came from, by the way, the Puritans? Let me quote to you Samuel Bolton, the Puritan, in his book, The True Bounds of Christian Freedom. The law sends us to the gospel for our justification. I mean, we're not justified by law, we go to the gospel to be justified. Then the gospel sends us to the law to frame our way of life. I'll give you another quote by the Puritan, will I? Antinomians, that's those that are against law yet profess to be Christians, against God's law. Antinomians decry the law for sanctification. They don't believe you have to keep the law for your holiness. We claim to be free from the curses of the law. That's like the Bible says. But they would have us free from the guidance and commands of the law. They want to disregard it completely. We say we are free from the penalties of the law, but they would abolish the precepts of the law. Everything that the law says. They tell us that we make a false mixture of Christ and Moses. And that we mingle the law and gospel together. How unjustly they lay this charge against us. Let men of understanding judge. We cry down the law in respect of justification. We're not saved by law. But we set up the law as the rule of sanctification. Practical holiness. The law sends us to the gospel that we may be justified, and the gospel sends us to the law again to inquire what is the duty of those that are justified. Whatever they say of the law, though they cast contempt and disgrace upon it, and upon those that preach it, yet we know that for the substance of it, the law is the image of God and the beam of his holiness. The things herein commanded in the law and forbidden are things morally and therefore eternally good and evil, and nothing can alter the nature of those things. The law reveals to us God's character and what God wants. We can't do it in and of ourselves. That's why we need grace and faith to be saved. But then the law, the grace, the salvation sends us back to the law, because this is God's attributes, his holiness and what he wants and what pleases him. And then therefore that's how we frame our life once we're saved. Disobedience, not keeping God's law, brings judgment down upon God's people. Let me come to the third reason really given in the verse in Amos. But our second point tonight, God was going to punish Judah because their lies caused them to err and walk as their fathers walked. Verse 4 again. For three transgressions of Judah and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err after the which their fathers have walked. Now, I know it says in the NIV, in that verse, that they have been led astray by false gods. They replace the word lies with false gods or idols. It was their idols or their false gods that led them astray. Whereas that is a wrong translation. I looked up all the Hebrew concordances and dictionaries that I had. That is not what that Hebrew word means at all. In none of the references does it give the word false gods as any explanation or idols. It's a wrong translation. The Hebrew word means deceitfulness or falsehood, something that is intended to deceive and cheat. The word literally means untruth. Their untruth that their lies have caused them to err. Now that's the weakness of the NIV, because it's not a word-for-word translation, but it is actually an interpretation of what they think the writer of the Bible might be giving at by using this word. But they don't give you the meaning of the word. They say, now what leads God's people astray here? Well, we know that idols did lead them astray, so we'll stick in the word false gods or idols and pay no attention whatsoever to what the Hebrew word actually says. It doesn't mean that. It's them interpreting the word, not translating it and give you the meaning. It's their opinion of what they think the writer's trying to get at. But to get to the truth, you need to know what the word means. Because that's what God wrote that word. He didn't write the word idol. He didn't write the word false god. He inspired that word. And it means untruth or lies. Untruth, wobbly doctrine. Their untruth, their wobbly doctrine caused them to err. That is, the Hebrew word means to reel or stray. It's the word that is used concerning a drunken man as he wanders from the path, swaying way off course. Their lies, their doctrinal error caused God's people to go astray. Now you see, when you know the meaning of the real words, you see how applicable it is. Because when we say doctrinal error causes people to go astray off course, that applies always, doesn't it? But if you translate it or interpret it like the NIV says, well, idols cause us to go astray, and everyone thinks, well, we don't worship idols, so it doesn't really apply, so it disconnects it from us now. And that's what it does. But the truth connects it and makes it relevant right now, because it's doctrinal error, wobbly doctrine, that causes God's people to go astray off the path. And it goes on to say, they walk after the way their fathers have walked. That Hebrew word walk means they behaved. They walk perseveringly. They're really determined to go in the way their fathers went. They're determined. They're going to persevere in their error. After their father's tradition. The way their fathers did it. In other words, their wobbly doctrine caused them to stray from God's path and behave and follow their father's traditions. They wouldn't follow and believe God, but they followed their fathers instead. Tradition. They obeyed tradition. They did what their fathers did instead of the Bible. First, they got false doctrine. They got the lies. And then they go off track and go astray. And then they keep doing it because that's what our fathers did. And we've always done it that way after all. Tradition. They behaved as their fathers. We've always done it that way. You've always been wrong then. They were determined. The Hebrew, they walked perseveringly. No one was going to change them. They were determined to go and follow tradition instead of the Bible. Just like Jesus said about them, full well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your tradition, making the word of God of none effect by your tradition. Mark 7, 9 and 13. Tradition came first before God's word. They were following error instead of truth. Another quote from Katie, the commentator. Yesterday's heresy is tomorrow's orthodoxy. Once it gets entrenched, it becomes a tradition and everybody does it, and that's what a Christian is. Yesterday's heresy is today's orthodoxy. Tradition, in the bad sense, prevailed over truth. Canaanite religious practices were adopted into the worship of the Hebrews. They were accepted. as received doctrine. Children tend to imitate their fathers, but that will not do as an excuse. Do not follow the statutes of your fathers or keep their laws or defile yourselves with their error. I am the Lord your God. Follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Ezekiel 20, 18 and 19. Don't follow your fathers, God says. Obeying tradition. Obeying men's ideas instead of scripture. How common. How common. Shall I illustrate it? Oh, I think I will. See, it used to be that it was the charismatic types that used to look at the traditional church and say, they are so traditional. Well, they are. But so were they. So are the charismatics. They're just every bit as traditional in their own tradition. Their own man-made ideas that have no warrant in the Bible. Tradition. Let me ask you a few questions. I want to apply it close to home. Do you come to church, if at all possible, every Sunday? New Testament says to the believer, neglect not the gathering of yourselves together after the manner of some is. So do you come to church, if at all possible, every Sunday? Oh, yes. But you see, the third Sunday, I always do that. And I always see that person on that Sunday. And I always go to their house on that day. It's just, you know, I've always done it that way. Yes, I know. What is that? You've made up your own little tradition. And you reject what the Bible says about neglecting not the gathering of yourselves together in order that you may keep your tradition that you've made up. Human tradition is obeyed. God's word is made of none effect. Another one. The Bible says that the people of God are to continue in prayer as a church. There are many references to that. Oh, yes, I know that, but you know, I always do such and such on a Wednesday night. Well, exactly. Yes. You always do that. Your tradition negates what the Bible teaches. It's not right. What has first place in your life? Oh, but you see, my children, they always do that on that night, and they always go to such and such on that night, and they always... Yes, well, God never told you that, did he? Did he? God never told you to make your children gods and put them before him, did he? Do you make void God's word in order that you may keep your tradition? Well then, what's the difference between you and the Judah, people of Judah in Amos day? What is the difference? That was one of the sins that brought God's judgment down upon Judah. They don't exist anymore. How relevant Amos is to us if we believe it. I conclude. Amos did not stop with Moab. He preached against Judah. He preached against God's covenant people. The message was a message of judgment. And why was it? Because they despised the law of the Lord. Because they had not kept his law, and because they followed error persistently. They were determined to follow error and go astray from God's way. That's why. In other words, they had a disdainful attitude, a disobedient action, and they deitized their tradition. It came before God. The judgment, what was it? Verse 5 tells you that it was fire on the whole nation and on Jerusalem. Specifically the city as well is mentioned. The whole nation, the church and Jerusalem, was their pride and joy. They boasted the temple of the Lord. God will never do anything because we've got the temple. We've got the temple. The things in which they boasted, that is exactly what God judged. Exactly. Do you see it? Do you see it? These things bring God's judgment upon his people. Do you see these things in the New Testament church? Do you see the disdain for God's law? Do you see the disobedience to God's law? Do you see the doctrinal error where people want to follow their tradition, their men's ideas and lies that lead them into error? The church in Northern Ireland is showing the sins of Judah. Therefore, we should not be surprised if we receive the same punishment as Judah. Because God's always the same. His standard has never changed. And maybe then, the death of so many churches in our country and the closure of them is not just an accident. Maybe God is still the same, just like the Bible says. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what I want to tell you, because God always punishes sin. You need to be forgiven. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, the message for you is this: love God's law like the Bible tells you. Obey God's law like the Bible tells you. And don't follow lies or erroneous traditions, because that will bring judgment. I finish with a quote from John Calvin. Here's what he says: let us then take heed to continuing within the boundaries of God's word. For when we turn aside ever so little from the pure word of God, we immediately become involved in many deceptions. Let us take heed, pay attention, to continue within the boundaries, the bounds that God has set in his word. For when we turn aside ever so little, just a little bit, we immediately become involved in many deceptions. How true. Thank you for your attention. We shall sing.